Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hey everyone, this is Hal Schwartz and Flynn McClain. We're doing a Patreon episode to discuss our thoughts on the third and final show at MetLife Stadium. Full disclosure, my throat is raw, my body is aching, and that is a very good sign as to what happened last night.
That's a good way of putting it. My legs were a little tired this morning, so were Claudine's. But yeah, in my throat, I had a hard time talking last night without sounding like I was squeaking. But yeah, we had a great time last night, the third show, September 3rd. Just spectacular. We got Jungle Land. That's obviously the big highlight for me, and probably for a lot of other people as well. And so that's the one I'm most focused on. I had a smile on my face during that entire performance.
Well, as you know, and we'll go back to the beginning because we should discuss the whole show in context, but you knew the set list. I did not. And I texted you at a point saying, I have hope for Jungle Land. It was after Something in the Night is played. And you thankfully did not respond and didn't say anything to me. But you knew at that point it was going to be played.
Yes, I did. I got it actually from one of our subscribers, one of our supporters. And I looked at it and I'm like, okay, this is going to be something special. And I know how you are about sound check spoilers and set list spoilers. So I made sure to keep my mouth entirely shut and didn't even hint at anything. So I knew you were going to be very, very happy when the encore started.
I was, but let's go back to the beginning because this was a show where he was really energized and on fire all night. As we discussed in our coverage of the second show, which we saw on Friday, and we also thought was very top notch. He hasn't played a lot of shows recently, and Friday in particular was very comfortable climate for him. Now, last night was much hotter, but he was ready to go. They didn't sound check, so they didn't take any energy there. And the show started again with Lonesome Day Into Night. Perhaps a little surprising that he opened all three shows with the same two songs, especially in Europe, the multi-night cities generally open with different songs. But irrelevant as the night played out. Night went into No Surrender, and then we got the tour debut of Two Hearts, which sounded fantastic. That's not really one of my personal favorites generally, but they had some fun with it.
Yes, they did. Especially on the It Takes Two at the end of the song. I had flashbacks back to the Garden in 2000 with that one. He played it every night in 99 and 2000. And then I think, 90%+ of the time in 16. So it was good to hear that one. It's, like an old familiar friend. Really, really enjoyed hearing it. It felt good to hear.
And then we got not the tour premiere because it had been played once in Dublin, but totally surprising to me when Something in the Night started. We've been looking for that, a little jolt where stuff would come that we weren't expecting, and he certainly delivered it last night. And what a great version of Something in the Night.
It was also a tremendous version. And I think that we should point out that during the show, or before these two songs, he talked to the band. He told them what songs were coming, held up the two for Two Hearts, and then he mouthed Something in the Night to the band. So it kind of felt like it was an audible in some fashion. But I, as I said, I had the set list a few minutes after Something in the Night ended. I'm like, okay, it was on there. No audible. But as you said, it felt good to get something different, and to hear it played so well was even better. And I feel like I have to give some props to prove it between Two Hearts and Something in the Night. I thought it was incredibly top notch. I thought it was better than the second night at UBS, but back in April. I thought it was just powerful, and they were into it.
We had posted the solo from Prove It All Night on Friday night to Twitter. And when I posted it, I had not really reviewed it. And you don't necessarily pick things up that clearly during the show until you watch it back. And he had had a bit of a miscue on that solo. And it definitely appeared to me that last night he put something a little extra into the solo, knowing that Friday had been a little adventure.
Yeah, you had told me about that. I hadn't picked it up at the show either. And actually, to be honest, I didn't watch your video. I did pay particular attention to the solo. I thought everything sounded right where it should. Maybe I could have used a little bit longer solo like he did at UBS back in April, but it was pretty great nonetheless.
I thought the version of Letter to You last night really hit. Now, it was the first new song. We should mention that Ghost was skipped. Now, I think fairly, as we've said throughout the year, the new stuff is important to us. I would prefer generally that Ghost not be skipped. A little bit different last night because it was the third night of the stand, the eighth night in the area. I think everyone who was there for the most part had seen Ghost already. And also, I think he's had a little trouble singing that one. And last night was a big night for him, especially since he knew he was going to have to deliver Jungle Land. And I thought his voice sounded really, really good. And again, especially here on Letter to You.
Well, we were disappointed that he did skip Ghost, to be perfectly honest. But as you said, Letter to You, it may have been the best one I saw this year. And I wouldn't take that one out, especially after last night, especially during the show last night, where it was kind of that was a letter to the fans. And I think he was talking to the fans just like when he wrote the song.
Back when we did the show on multi-night stands, I had said, I really believe that he knows what he has to deliver in New Jersey. And he did know, and he delivered it last night. Last night's show, and I was getting texts from a ton of people that we know who were there last night, a lot of people who saw shows in Europe. Our friend Jeanette saw Gothenburg. Everyone was just blown away by what took place last night. And it wasn't just the changes in the set. Of course, that's important. But the performances throughout it, I hope going forward, and I think they're going to, as we know, they moved DC, as we've discussed, and they've moved one of the San Francisco shows. I hope they're going to pay attention to allowing him proper rest and recuperation between shows, because I think the light schedule that had occurred before MetLife, of course, unfortunately, he was sick in Philly, but that did open up the schedule. I think that really served him well. Don't you think the same?
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, Friday night was perfect weather. So I was a little concerned about last night. It was a bit warmer. It was a bit more humid, but it didn't seem to bother him at all. I'm kind of glad the shows were this past weekend, because coming up this week here in the New York, New Jersey area, we're supposed to have the highs in the upper 80s, lower 90s. So and with plenty of humidity. So it was good that the shows took place this weekend and that this little mini heat wave held off until afterwards.
I'm sure sleeping at home and being on the farm helps as well. You know, even though he's staying in top-level hotels, there's nothing like being in your own bed.
No, that sleeping in your own bed is a huge deal. And he got two nights of sleeping in his own bed between each show. So yeah, I'm sure that was a very big factor in that as well.
From there, the show settled in. There was Spirit in the Night returning from Friday night. I was really pleased to hear Spirit in the Night again, just because personally I was there with my buddy Roger, who I saw first show, Bruce, 1984, 39 plus years ago. He was with us last night, and Spirit was played that night, August 8th, 1984, and I'll never forget when Bruce jumped in the crowd that night. I'd never seen anything like it, and it was played last night in such an energetic version. It was nice that we were both standing there, and it's meaningful.
Last night's show had a lot of meaningful moments like that. I mean, obviously you had Jungle Land, you had Born to Run, Rosie. I mean, all the familiar stuff. that I'm sure a lot of people had bonding moments with friends back in the 80s or 90s and were able to kind of re-experience last night. And talking about the performance of Spirit, I think as I said in our previous episode, the horn sounded absolutely amazing on this one. I was a little concerned how that was going to work, but damn, it worked perfectly. And if you can feel the spirit, I want you to respond with a mighty yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed that last night, to be perfectly honest.
And I will say I felt the spirit. I think you can hear it if you're listening to me, because the spirit is still with me. You know, and that's something we've talked about all year, the buzz. Now, we had the buzz after Friday night. And last night, well, Tampa, of course, I had a major buzz too, but that was the excitement of the return. Last night, I couldn't sleep. I mean, I was that fired up. He got to me last night in ways that I wasn't even so sure that could happen. I mean, he's older, I'm older. It was, if we look at some of the sets from the past 15 years, it wasn't like it was that crazy, but there was something about that performance last night, being in that building, and the crowd was crazy all night.
Yeah, the crowd was incredibly boisterous. I feel like they knew every word to every song. It was like every song became a sing-along, especially like on Wrecking Ball, Because the Night, obviously Badlands, Thunder Road. And yeah, that felt really good. Of course, they could be also a little bit too boisterous and flailing arms and bumping into other people, but that's a problem that we had.
Now, one thing that I think happened throughout the night, and I noticed it on Kitty's back, Roger brought it up as well. It seemed like some of the versions were shorter last night, like he knew he was going to play these other songs that were a little bit longer. So rather than go over 3 hours, I think he wanted to contain the show. Kitty's Back seemed a little shorter to me. Rosalita was definitely shorter. He cut out some of the shtick. What did you think?
I really didn't notice it on Kitty's Back, but I did notice it on Dancing in the Dark and even a little bit of 10th Avenue. And you're right, I hadn't noticed that about Rosalita cutting out the shtick between him and Steve. They had it on Friday night, but they didn't have it last night. But that's a good thing. And if you cut out the shtick in Rosalita and you get to get Jungle Land and kind of in its place, I am all for that trade.
Yes. Of course, we were not there on Wednesday night for night one, so I was thrilled that Atlantic City was played again. It was big.
But it wasn't the same arrangement, right? The first night of Atlantic City, it was just Bruce on guitar for the first verse,
was
like
it?
92?
I wasn't sure. Now, in Foxborough, we played that different arrangement. I haven't heard the Wednesday show yet. It hasn't been released on Nugs, of course.
Nugs is a little behind right now.
Yes.
The last show they have is the second night in Chicago from August 11th, so they're a couple weeks behind.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
From there, the show settled into its regular pattern. But again, the songs were stellar. The version of Backstreet's was really touching. There was that moment in the middle where he talks about, I'm going to carry you right here till the end. And I mean, it's been hitting home the entire tour, but I think in the context of everything that was going on last night, it just gave it a little bit extra oomph.
All right, well, I was going to talk about the extra oomph that was in the last few lines of Last Man Standing. I thought,
oh yeah,
the way he sang it, I feel like there was a lot of chatter in the audience. But when he, I don't want to say he yelled them, but he certainly sang them very loud. It got very quiet. You could hear a pin drop during at that point, and I thought that was absolutely beautiful, and it captured the emotion that he was talking about. With death, its final gift is making the living appreciate it every day. And I thought, as I said, that hit really hard.
Did you feel that Because a Night was also a little bit elevated last night? I thought Nils on his solo also gave it a little extra zip to it. There was something about it. I was like, he seems to be giving a little extra here. Did you notice that?
I believe I did. I didn't notice that. I was enjoying it a hell of a lot more. It did seem that Bruce was singing it a little bit more into it. And yeah, Nils' solo, I guess he kind of takes over as being the band leader for those few minutes. We're interacting with Max and exchanging looks and I guess slight directions. And yeah, he was seemed to be more on with that one than usual.
Wrecking Ball just goes over so well at the Meadowlands. I understand some people would like it to be switched out every now and then, but it worked perfectly last night. The energy in the building on that one, it always surprises me. That was the case in Europe as well, as a matter of fact, but especially there when he's singing about the building that stood right next door, people get really, really into it.
Yes, they do. And as a Washington Commanders fan, I certainly enjoy booing the Giants line.
I have been known to do that as well.
But I was certainly singing along and raising my arm on every bring on your wrecking ball line. And yeah, even I had fun on that one last night.
And the final three songs, they were perfect. The Rising, as you noted in our last discussion, is playing, it seemed, at a little bit faster pace now, and the lighting that they're using, really is one of the best played songs, and we know the song means a hell of a lot to him, and of course it is the week before the anniversary of 9/11. I think that probably also played into the Lonesome Day appearances every night, but The Rising is just, it's a song that's so magnificent, and it works so well. And it's a little surprising at this point how much of an anthem it has become, because if you think about the subject matter, of course, it plays sort of opposite it. But it's certainly the biggest song, and I think the key song that he's written since, what would you say, since 87?
Absolutely. I was thinking it's definitely the key song of at least the last 25 years. Maybe Land of Open Dreams or American Skin, but
no, I think, not as big as The Rising.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking of the important songs he's written over the last quarter century. And yeah, as I said, maybe Land of Open Dreams and American Skin, but no, this one is the anthem of the last quarter century. And I think it's more of a, like an affirmation song, as I think it's lost some of the sadness that accompanied that day. And now it's more of a celebration, and that we're going to rise back up.
Well, and it's interesting in its placement in the set. Of course, we talked about this going back to February, because it follows Wrecking Ball. That confirms what you're saying here. It's much different than the way it was used, say, to open the Rising Tour shows, as we're talking about in our Rising Tour series, which we're going to get back to shortly.
It took me a while to get Wrecking Ball after I visited my grandmother in a nursing home about 6 months after the whatever tour that was Working on a Dream ended. And yeah, that going into the Rising, it's a powerful trio or a powerful duo, which becomes even more resonant when you get to Badlands. And that really is the death defying song of the night.
Badlands was great last night. I also felt that one was a little bit more compact. He was getting ready for the encores. There's no question about it. Now, full disclosure, our buddy Jason had texted me, and he said, I have the set list, and he also knew not to send it to me. But he wasn't at the show. But he said to me, when he asked how it was, I was like, oh, it's smoking hot, and there have been a couple of changes that are really great. He wrote back something like, well, just wait till later. So I knew that something was coming. But after Thunder Road, let's go through the encores now. Bruce turned around. Susie had a violin in her hand, for one thing. And you could read his lips as clear as a bell. He said, "Jungle Land." And okay. I was just going crazy, as I don't think we've mentioned this to the audience maybe once or twice. I have been very concerned as the year has gone on that I was never going to get to see Jungle Land again, which was really sort of depressing me. So I was elated beyond belief. And during the performance of that song last night, I was so transfixed. I would have loved to have maybe had a snippet of video, but I was like, I am not doing anything. I am just going to be here and absorb it fully. And that is exactly what I did.
That's a very good call. To live in the moment. I think that's part of what Bruce is saying with this show. And I'm glad you did. I mean, I did get some video of that from the Garden back in April. But I also knew that was coming. And I was able to kind of give a little bit of flavor. But yeah, last night, as I said earlier in the episode, I just had a smile on my face during the whole song, and it was just beautiful. And I love the power of the end of it. After he says "down in jungle," and that the rest of the song, just especially to hear in a stadium where it's just like it's so big, and I loved it. I loved hearing it last night.
We don't want to use the word epic too much, but it was epic. I understand it's 2023. The band is older. In a way, that makes it more poignant. And it was totally epic. I have not felt this after a show, the fatigue in my legs and my voice being raw, in a very long time. I just had an incredible time last night.
Oh, well, so did I. And yeah, I think one thing we need to point out with the performance of Jungle Land is that 7 of the 8 songs off Born to Run were played last night.
Right.
I assume you picked up on that one.
I wasn't really paying that much attention to it as it was unfolding. I really was in a different space last night. Even on the stuff that we've seen all year long, there was something going on, as we said. It just seemed like the situation was elevated. So I wasn't really thinking in my analytical mind. I was just sort of, again, trying to absorb it.
Well, what's interesting is that the standard set list really does include 5 out of 8 songs. You got Thunder right. Road, you got 10th Avenue, She's the One, Backstreet's Born to Run. And then at this show, he also threw in Night. Well, not really throw in Night. And then this performance of Jungle Land. So you got 7 out of the 8. I'm waiting for the full album performance in sequence now.
I have to admit, when Born to Run started, I was sort of like stunned. In fact, someone said that I was on the screen or something. I have no idea what I was doing at that point.
Yeah, that was me telling you.
Oh, someone else said they saw me too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were on. They were showing the crowd during Born to Run. I guess it was
one of the cameras facing
the crowd.
I'm like totally blank. I mean, really, after Jungle Land ended, I needed a moment to sort of get back my composure. And even though it was Born to Run, and I love Born to Run, I really am sort of blank on the first half of the song.
Okay. Well, it always hits big, and the house lights go on. And what I really noticed last night was I was in the pit. So many people in the pit looking around at the entire stadium and just seeing the power that this music is bringing to everybody in the stadium, all the way up to the last row on the other side of the stadium. And it's a joy. It's amazing to see it in action.
It is. And the encore was just stupendous in its entirety. There's no other way to put it. It was a very special hour of music. I don't know how often we're going to see something like that again. I suspect, and I'm pretty sure you agree, this is certainly not a turning point in the sense that this is going to happen every night. It was special because of the circumstances. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Sure do.
So
it's going to continue in Syracuse without Jungle Land or the Detroit Medley, unfortunately.
Maybe they'll pop up once in a while, but I don't want to do too much on that right now. I'm just glad that I was there last night. And The medley I actually had in my mind, because after Jungleland had been played and Something in the Night, I did think to myself, the medley would be a perfect replacement for Seven Nights to Rock. But when he counted into it, I was ecstatic.
Yes, so was I. That was actually one that I was looking forward to after I saw it on the set list. And I hadn't thought about it replacing Seven Nights, because at this show, it replaced Glory Days in the sequencing. And yeah, so much fun. I didn't see it back in the, well, I guess I saw it a couple times in 88, but I didn't see the legendary performances of it on the River Tour or first part of the Born in the USA tour. So I was having a great time.
Dancing was also more compact. As you noted, I think 10th Avenue was more on the compact side. His energy level during 10th Avenue, because we've seen other shows this year, by the time he got to 10th Avenue, he definitely seemed winded. He definitely could have gone longer last night, I think. He was feeling it. Now, that may have been bad for him today and tomorrow, but in the moment last night, I think he had the adrenaline pumping enough that he would have been able to go on had he wanted to.
Yeah, that would have been pretty sweet. But as you said, you don't want to. It was already a special night. It was already a wonderful night. And
he had a perfect ending planned.
Yeah, exactly. Jersey Girl. And instead of the usual tour show ender that he's done on literally every other night on the tour, I'll See You in My Dreams. So he's got to have something left for when he goes up to Syracuse and then down to Baltimore.
The thing that I loved at the end of 10th Avenue, when Kevin handed him the guitar and 10th Avenue ended, and he sort of stood there for a moment with a look on his face before he hit the notes to begin Jersey Girl. Mm-hmm. And it was so perfect. It was an acknowledgement of the crowd, the Jersey fans, his knowing that he was giving something that was very special. And it was very, very cool.
And I took it as he was really savoring the moment, and
yes,
maybe letting everyone in the crowd kind of savor the moment before closing the show with such the geographically appropriate song.
It was really nicely done. Of course, he did it at Newark, where it was also nicely done. But last night, it was the perfect ending to what we had seen. And I'll admit, when he ended the song and the band started leaving the stage, he lingered for a little while. And he hugged Jake, as he always does before Jake goes off. And I thought Kevin was going to hand him a guitar and harmonica for I'll See You in My Dreams. It wasn't on the set list, as we know. And he stood there for a second, which I now realize that he was really sort of just taking in the crowd and the excitement that he had just created. And then he walked off the stage and I turned around. I was like, is it over?
Just like that guy in Copenhagen, is it over? It's not over, but it was over. Sorry.
It was over, and it was a perfect conclusion to a really perfect night. There's no point in bringing up, some people were like, well, where does it rank? It doesn't matter. The bottom line is Bruce is 3 weeks away from being 74. Now he's actually, I think he's 19 days from being 74. It's different. We know that. And I am just glad that I was there to witness that. Who knows when we'll see something like that again. But it was really, really special. And that's how I feel about it today. And I am sure that's how I'm going to feel about it when I hear the Nugs release.
I hope this doesn't sound like a backhanded compliment, but this was as epic as it's going to get in 2023. Previous Jersey stands, you know, they may have had more songs or more variety or whatever, but this one was certainly special, and it should be mentioned when we start in the future when we talk about great shows in New Jersey.
Oh, for sure. I don't think it's a backhanded compliment, because I've said this before. I've come to understand the circumstances, especially after I saw the shows in Europe and the heat that he was dealing with and how close the shows were together. This was a very fortunate situation that he was well-rested. He obviously had a plan to give the crowd something last night that he hadn't been giving the rest of the year. And he knows how to put on a special show. We've seen it before. In a way, it sort of reminded me how the third show in Asbury was structured on the Joad tour, where he also omitted some of the key Joad songs, including Promised Land. And that's okay, because he knows that the audience has seen other shows. That's one of the things we've been saying all year, that they know who's going to the shows, and they know people are seeing repeat shows. That was something that we felt very strongly about. So he knows who was there last night, and he wanted to deliver for us, and he did, and it was magnificent.
Oh, he absolutely did, and this will probably be my last show of the year. So it's a good high note to go out on, and look forward to next year whenever that comes.
Well, I'm seeing the local shows to me, but I'm not going to see anything besides that. And I'm going to look forward to it. It's 3 months away. It's a nice gap. It'll be fresh for me at that point.
Exactly.
I really was impressed by what he did last night. And there's not much more to say about it than that. It was just a special night for me. So I guess we'll wrap things up here. We have been going. We've never actually gone for a half an hour on one of these live recordings before, but we'll see how this one plays.
Well, here we are. There's a lot to talk about. I mean, it was such a fun show, and a lot of elements in there that warrant a little bit of discussion and highlighting.
We're doing this one without editing, but we do want to end by saying, if you're listening, this is a Patreon episode. We've now put it onto Evergreen. If you're hearing it on your regular podcast platform like Apple Podcasts and the rest, if you're interested in learning more about our Patreon, go to patreon.com/mbtvpodcast. Of course, on Twitter, you can find us at mbtvpodcast. And as always, we just want to say we really appreciate everyone who's come up to us at the shows and said how much they're enjoying the podcast. It's pretty wild, and it means a lot to us.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It happened to me a couple times last night. I'm always just blown away and just extremely flattered by people telling me how much they enjoy the show. And it's like, it's just me talking about Bruce. It's no big deal. but we thank you.
We do thank you. So we'll be back with part two of the Rising Tour. And we'll let people know on Twitter exactly when that's going to be. And with that, we'll sign off. Number the Brave is a presentation of Evergreen Podcast. It's produced by Bullmark Entertainment. We thank you for listening.
So for Hal Schwartz, I'm Flynn McLean saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you further on up the road.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not-so-grown-up things like...
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics... all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers, think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind Podcast.